Good morning and welcome to Anonymous Vision for You, Big Book Study. My name is Russ M. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, December 13th, 2024. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in How It Works, and we're reading page 64, the third paragraph. Resentment is the number one offender, ending with, we were burned up. And we're just going to share on that page only. So today's readers, for the steps, we have Matthew G. For the traditions, Nick F. is helping us out. For the text, starting us off, is Elena C. And then page 164 is Nancy R. Our newcomer greeters, Tony B. Second hour host, Matt J. F. And announcement is Kathy F. All right. And our share ID for yesterday, Thursday, December 12, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,991. So that's 21991. The 10 a.m. meeting was 21,992. So that's 21992. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. Always not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I've asked Matthew G. to take care of the steps today.
Hi there, this is Matthew G., recovered compulsive overeater in Paris, France, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Matthew. Next up is Nika with the traditions.
Nick has recovered compulsive overeating in Tennessee, 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never be endorsed, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, OVITAS Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, OVITAS Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service. Pass.
Sorry, got unmuted. I apologize. How our meeting works. Oh, thank you, Matthew and Nick. Appreciate it. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep a sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep a share to approximately 3 minutes. Compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in How It Works, page 64. We're on that third paragraph, starting with resentment was the number one offender. And it ends with we were burned up. And we're just sharing on that paragraph. And Elena C. is going to start us off today.
Good morning, Ross. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I so appreciate your voice in the morning. Thank you so much. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From its stem, all forms of spiritual disease. For we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady it overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. We asked ourselves why we were angry. In most cases, it was found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambition, our personal relations. Somebody's unmuted.
Huh?
Our personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened. So we were sore. We were burned up. Oh, boy, don't I relate to that. So I was struck by from resentment stems all forms of spiritual disease. Okay, and what that is what is for me is complete disconnection with the universe, complete disconnection with people around, going into me, how dare you, I can't believe you did that. And, staying like that forever, I stay like that forever, and it destroyed my relationship with others, but it destroyed my inner being. It ate at the core of my soul. It was there, And what the way I coped with it was, well, what happened in those situations is I reacted. I did stuff. I said or I did stuff that hurt our relationship, and I was so justified in it. But then, because I am a good person, I really am. It was discovered. It was revealed to me through this program that I am a good person. I really felt bad about it. So inside of me was this part of me was like, oh, I did that to you. I said that to you because you deserve it. And then, wow, why did I do that? I shouldn't have been. And these parts of me were with each other. And what happened? They blocked. They absolutely blocked the connection with the universe. The universe inside of me that I should have had otherwise. So this program is teaching me to pause. Okay, so we're pausing here. We check ourselves out. You know, because my resentments or making decisions, it was almost like it was all me. My resentments are part of me. And what this paragraph doesn't say, it doesn't say you will work on this resentment and you will never have resentment. And nowhere in this book it says that. Because guess what? I will always have anger, period. Anger is a common human emotion, and God of my understanding wants me to be gentle with myself and wants me to grasp it. You will always have that. I gave you this anger, Elena, to help yourself, because this is the gift of your life. These feelings that are uncomfortable and make decisions for you at times, you know, are a gift from me, and that's why you're alive, and you will always have them. Now, the issue here is that I am there for you, Elena, in this resentment. All you've got to do is remember, be willing to call upon me, because I can help you through with these resentments. And this is a life saving. I see myself hand in hand with my resentments and making decisions and making choices that help myself and my fellow humans, God's children. And therefore, when the spiritual malady is overcome, we strengthen our mentally and physically. This is how I strengthen our mentally and physically. And my emotional self will always be there. But this time is with God and this 12 steps. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
All right, Elena, thank you so much for starting us off. So we're going to open up the lines for Sharon. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have a chance to share. And if you could just, I need your name, first initial and last name, where you're calling from. And if you could, one at a time, please.
Harlan G.
Larry K.
Got Harlan.
Julie R.
I think Kelly.
Reba P.
Larry. There was
Julie R.
Reba, Julie, that's right. There we go. Sorry, Julie. Julie R.
Nadia E.
Nadia.
Anne-Marie M.
Reba P.
I got you, Reba. Anne-Marie.
Oh, thank you.
Gail H.
Gail. Who else? All right, that's a great list. We got Harlan G, Kelly S, Larry K, Julie R, Reva P, Nadia E, Emery M, and Gail H for our first round. We'll take some more after. Harlan, you're up, buddy.
Am I up?
You're up.
All right, thanks, Russ, thanks. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. Why is resentment the number one offender? Where does resentment come from? Where does what is the emanation point of resentment or fear? All resentment and fear come from the same place. They come from a threat or a perceived threat to one of the three basic instincts of life. There are three basic instincts. They are God-given, and they are woven into our soul by God Almighty at birth. They are the social instinct and the subheading of self-esteem. Anything that threatens my social standing or my self-esteem is going to make me angry or scared. Or my future, my ambitions for the future in these areas. The security instinct, pocketbook, money, personal security, emotional security, these are all part of the security instincts. We're dealing with the third column of the four columns of the resentment inventory right now, but this is the emanation point of all resentment and all fear. And the third column is the sex column. Anything that threatens my sex instinct, either what I have now or my ambitions for the future, is going to get me angry, going to get me scared. And it destroys more alcoholics than anything else. How does it do that specifically? Well, a resentment blocks me off from God. Blocked off from God, I don't feel very good. And when I don't feel very good, my mind is going to focus laser-like on the ease and comfort that pizza or a Reese's peanut butter cup or an Oreo cookie is going to give me. And I am going to focus in my mind on why I need that and how to get it and when to eat it. And I am going to end up eating it. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else because it blocks me off from God and I end up eating because eating is the solution to my problem. The problem is I don't feel very good when I'm scared, when I'm upset, when I'm angry. I may not even get to the breakdown of the columns here. But anyway, a resentment has a very big attractive side. When I resent somebody, I don't have to take responsibility for my own life. That's why I fan it, feed it, nurture it, fertilize it. I love a good resentment because I don't have to look at me. I can blame you, and if you hadn't have done that to me, I wouldn't be the way I am today. And the specific instructions, which I can't get to because I only have 3 minutes, on the first three columns, there's four columns to the resentment section. Vayasmir, I'm out of time already. Gott in Himmel. Anyway, the three columns are here, and then the fourth column is on page 67. But this is where resentments come from, and when I'm harboring a resentment, I have to ask myself a question. Is this the hill I want to die on? Because I'm not going to be in recovery and in resentment at the same time. I'm going to repeat that. I am not going to be in recovery and in resentment at the same time. It is not possible. With that, I will mercifully pass. Thanks, Russ, for your service.
You got it, Hart. All right, Kelly S. is up, and she's followed by Larry K.
Hey, good morning, Russ. This is Kelly S. from Tulsa, Oklahoma, recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. Thanks for taking the meeting. Just want to piggyback on the two first shares of why we can't afford resentment because, you know, justified or not, it tells us we can't afford it. Right? I mean, a lot of my resentments could be justified. A lot of my friends would be like, oh, God, yeah, I'd be pissed too, right? But I can't afford it because when I get blocked, it's not the resentment, it's not the fear, it's not those things that drive me to eat, it's my disconnection with God. And I love that it says, from it stem all forms of spiritual disease. And I like to read it like this, dis-ease. I have a dis-ease within my soul. And it says that we have been mentally and physically ill. We have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. Okay, well, there's the answer. How do I freaking do that? You know, how I overcome this spiritual malady, right? Well, it tells me back in how it works. It says, without help, it is too much for us, but there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. How am I freaking supposed to find him? Oh, guess what? The book also tells me that. That's what the whole book is about. It tells me that we agnostics, that we, the whole point of this book is to find a relationship with this power, with this God. Again, how am I doing that? I'm going to put down the food. I'm going to work these steps as we hear. I'm going to do this treasure map to get to the treasure, right? So I ask myself all the time when I get these resentments, how free do I want to be? Do I want to be blocked from this only source of power that's going to get me over this spiritual malady? I'm powerless. I'm powerless over food. I'm powerless over life. I'm powerless over these resentments. I'm powerless over all of this stuff. But guess what? There is a power who has the power to get me out of all of this. And again, that's what this is all about. And I just have to remind myself, I can't afford it. I can't. I've done this many times. And I'm just so grateful today that I realize, justified or not, I want to be free. I want to be free from the food. I want to be free from the power of everybody else, from everybody's thoughts, from what I think everybody's thinking of me, right? From this justified anger, like Harlan said, I don't want to die on this hill anymore. I spent my life dying in this disease. And today I'm choosing to live. I've put down the food. I'm working these steps. I'm getting honest about my justified anger, my resentments. When they crop up, as Elena said, these are going to be daily, this crap. This stuff keeps on coming. My sponsor says, life keeps getting lifey. The longer I live, the lifeier it keeps getting, by God. So grateful today that I have these tools. I have these steps. I have you guys, and mostly grateful I have my God. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Russ.
Thank you, Kelly. Next up is Larry K., followed by Julie R.
Hey, Russ. Good morning. I'm Larry K. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. You know, for me, resentment is like a cancer that metastasizes. And eventually, it's going to destroy a compulsive overeater like me. And that's why we say it's the number one offender. It's really like a poison to relationships of all types. It could be intimate relationships, and coworkers, family members, whoever, institutions. See, it kills off an essential part of intimacy with another human being, and namely, that's empathy. I'm so focused on me and my needs. And resentment for me is like a steady drip of water onto a stone. If that water continues for years, what happens to that stone? Well, it starts to degenerate. It starts to decompose. And it's similar with the human heart. As other people treat us in disrespectful or cruel ways or just don't follow our script, the anger enters into our heart, not theirs. And that anger, drip by drip, falls onto the heart, and it hurts the heart. It disrupts the person, and it's exhausting. And it doesn't, you know, matter whether the injustice is causing the damage, but the injustice and the deep abiding anger keeps me blocked off from the sunlight of the spirit, like we heard. And here's a kind of a colorful way that I heard of understanding the effects of resentment that it has on us. I think of like dragging around the chain of resentment through life, carrying around a bag of horse manure. Okay, I might have a more colorful word for that, but anyways, you can imagine. Anyway, you want to smear the contents of the bag in the face of the person you resent. So you carry it around, waiting for the opportunity, and you carry it around, and you carry it around, and you carry it around, and the bag gets heavier and heavier. And you know who ends up stinking? I do. I do. Not the person I resent. It's my bag, not theirs. But you might say, but you know, what if it's justified or if the resentment is valid? That's fine. Of course, every resentment I ever had seemed to be justified. But the food was killing me, not the other person. And the other thing that I'll wrap up and say is one of the most contagious emotional states. If you're around a resentful person, you're likely to become resentful. If someone comes into work resentful, by lunchtime, everyone around that person's resentful. I need to have God's help. The resentment is not removed by doing step four. It's removed in God's time by completing the process. And this impatience breeds frustration. The steps bring about a revolutionary internal shift where we're brought into congruence with God. Then the resentments will come. They'll be removed when you're not even looking for it. It'll creep up on you. And they'll be obliterated. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Larry. Appreciate it. Next up is Julia R., followed by Reva P.
Hi, this is Julia R., recovered compulsive overeater in California. You know, it's pretty clear. It says resentment is the number one offender. You know, not the second, not the third, but it's the number one. And it's not food, it's not weight, all those things that we thought, you know, were so more important in our life. It's the resentment that's going to kill me. Where it says, from it stems all forms of spiritual disease. That's anything that separates me from my Creator. And there could be many, many things. It could be TV, it could be Instagram, it could be family, it could be, you know, a whole list of things. But it's all about the separation from God. And it does, for me, it severs my relationship. I mean, it just doesn't warp it or destroy it. It just creates havoc. And I can't forget that resentment is the number one offender, because as someone said earlier, I can't afford to have resentment, because it will not only destroy me, but it's going to destroy the relationships that are all around me. And we have been spiritually sick. And the good news is that I don't have to be spiritually sick on a daily basis if I do the work. And the rest of the paragraph, you know, it talks about how we do our columns. And it's clear, it says that we put them on paper. We just don't do it in our head, which I have done multiple times. I thought I could do my four step just in my head. And I miss about 99.9% of the things that I've done. So I just can't afford to forget what resentments do to my life. It cripples me, because I have no room for my Creator when I'm in a resentment, because I'm focused on me. What didn't I get? What am I going to get? Who's going to get it instead of me? All of those things. And then my character defects are just going to pop out left and right. So yeah, today, you know, I choose to do my work. And as a result of that, hopefully today I won't be resentful. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Jewel. Appreciate it. Before Reva jumps up on here to share, let me let you know where we're at if you jumped on late. We are in How It Works, page 64, jumping on to 65. Resentment is the number one offender, ending with we were burned up. And we're just sharing on that that paragraph. All right, Reva, you're up.
Hi, good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. Manifestations of self, the resentments, fears, and sex or relationship conduct. So yeah, for me, when I first read this, it was surprising that resentment, not the food, was the number one offender. And I am so grateful for the simple instructions in this book. I had no idea what was going to be uncovered, but I followed the columns, these simple instructions. And I was very happy to do these first three columns, list all the people and institutions and the causes and, you know, what was affected, and to, you know, give this whole explanation of my justified anger. I thought, you know, the purpose of this was for my sponsor to say, yeah, these people and things are terrible too. I hate them too. Let's complain about them. But that wasn't the purpose. So I follow the instructions, and then I get eventually to that fourth column, which we'll discuss. And I am so grateful that it outlines here that I had it backwards. I wanted all the externals to be the way I wanted them to be, including my body. And what it says here is when I'm spiritually straightened out, all those things fall into place. So if I'm restless, irritable, discontent, yes, I do the work, I do the inventory, whether it's 4 through 9 or 10. But I have to always remember it's the internal environment, it's the spiritual aspect of me that needs aligning, back in alignment with God, getting out of self. And then all the other stuff, I don't need to do these affirmations and this, like everything falls into place. So yeah, and you know, even when I'm right, I'm always, in my mind, I'm always right, but it always points, it's so fascinating to me that all of this goes right back to the beliefs. I have these, you know, small amount of core beliefs, and I see the world through this lens. And then everything is upside down. And when I'm in God's alignment, using the way God would have me think, it's totally different. So, you know, knowing this is great, but it's doing it, doing the process 4 through 9 That's how things are transformed. So knowing I can't afford resentment is sort of like saying I can't afford this food, but I'm still binging my brains out. You know, God removes this as I go through the process. So with that, I pass.
Thanks, Reva. Next up is Nadia E, followed by Amory M.
Good morning. Good morning, Russ. Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. It's Nadia E from Toronto. And what stood out for me was we were burned up. Oh, it's like fire. And like, I just feel this anger, this resentment. And it really burns me up. And it blocks my higher power. It blocks relationships. And I don't want to live like that anymore. But I've made a decision to turn my life and my will over to higher, which I call God. So to the newcomer, it may sound strange. It's confusing. It's like you're just, we are just, you know, into ourselves. And we're getting, like we allow people and situations to rule us, but we don't have to. We have a choice. I have a choice today. And it's a matter of perspective. I can be standing in the line one day, being so pissed off and angry and thinking that, you know, everyone's doing me wrong. Or I can just smile, take a deep breath, invite my higher power, and see things the way God wants me to see things. And that's peaceful. And I don't want to be burned up anymore. So that's the plan. That's the plan for today is, you know, hey, God, show me how to live. I want to live. And thank you. And I wish you all a peaceful Friday. With that, I pass. Thanks, Wes. Bye.
Thanks, Nadia. Next up is Anne-Marie M., followed by Gail H. Star one, Anne-Marie. Not hearing you. Maybe mute it.
Oh, I was double right. Muted. Yeah, sorry about that. So this is Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina. Miraculously recovering from compulsive overeating. And I'm in South Carolina. I think I said that already. Yeah, so I was... when I read this number, you know, resentment is a number one offender, I thought, well, good thing I don't have that, because I didn't think I had a lot of these pride and fear. I came in here feeling so low and so less than, yet I looked at the steps and I thought I was way above what they would say, like, you know, that they, like, made a list of people I had harmed. I didn't harm anybody. And doing this step four, listing resentments, you know, I was taught, or I learned, I should say, because I don't think my parents taught me this, but what I believed was that young ladies do not get angry. So, and I somehow learned not to feel. And food helped me with that. Compulsive eating helped me with not feeling. And just like it was said earlier that God gave us these instincts, He also gave me feelings. And so the 12 steps, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, teaches me how to deal with those feelings. And part of the process is doing this fourth step, and taking a fact-finding look at myself without judgment. So I'm really grateful to know that there's a way out of these feelings. I don't have to go to compulsive overeating. Like it was just said, going to God, asking God to see things the way that he sees them is wonderful. And then there was also a promise. And last Sunday we had a talk, a special edition was on promises, and we straighten out mentally and physically. However, I found that whenever there's a promise, there's a condition. So when the spiritual malady is overcome, so how is the spiritual malady overcome? It's done by God, but it's also done by me working the steps in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
All right, Emery, thank you. Next up is Gail H., and then we're going to take another list.
Good morning. This is Gail H. from Seattle, Washington, and thank you all. Thank you, Russ, for your share and starting this meeting and everyone who shared. It is a real gift to me. And one of the things that strikes me about getting a perspective about the pain of resentment is thinking back to the beginning of the journey for me. And I didn't just have anger, I had rage. And the rage was so fueled when alcohol was no longer a part of the picture, but by sugar. It was so fueled. And that nervous system electricity was really painful to the point that it drove me to recovery. And I think that is part of the awareness of the resentments, is that they drove me to a place where there's enough what I think of now as humbleness, because it wasn't just compulsive overeating, it was compulsive living. And that compulsive doing. And, you know, it struck me that what needed to maybe happen in my world was it was so essential to pause. And that pausing just helped me to breathe and then interrupt what was going on, the spinning, so that I could consult with my higher power. And that pause opens the door to begin to understand my blind spot. And my blind spot as a human being is, you know, quite impressive, actually. And, you know, I so relate to Bill in his story of unconscious arrogance. I don't even know that it's there. But I think I know something, and, you know, it does make me laugh now, and I think, oh, God, you know, this is what I thought. And you always have a better way. It's not my way, I have to say. It's always a lot more circuitous route that is unexpected, but it's better. And, you know, over the years, there is a humbleness that needs to grow, and I'm just struck on the line when someone is being the monitor and how patient they are. And I think, you know, this strikes me because, you know, here is, thank you, vision. I can see that this is an area that when I'm large and in charge, I'm just not all that patient.
Sorry.
Thank you. And thank you all. I'm grateful.
Thanks, Gail. Appreciate it. So before we take another list, let me let you know where we're at. We're in How It Works, page 64. Resentment is the number one offender. That's the third paragraph ending with, we were burned up. And if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back, allow others to get a chance to share on the big book. So who wants to share? Pete B. Pete?
Leanne F.
Leanne. We probably could take two more.
Anayeta R.
Anayeta.
Judith S.P.
And Judith. Let's go with that. And if there's time, we'll put everybody else in there. All right, Pete, you're up, brother.
Thanks, Russ, for taking the meeting. My name's Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy in the great state of Pennsylvania. Yeah, you know, I'm really glad that we talked about resentment. You know, like, you know, we don't eat because of resentment. Yeah, we eat because of resentment. We eat because of fear. We eat because we're compulsive overeaters. That's why we eat. You know, the book calls what we have phenomena, both the mental and the physical part of our disease, and that's the reason why we eat. Could I use resentment as the reason? Sure. I could use everything as the reason. You know, whatever reason fits, I'm going to use. You know, I ate when I was happy. I ate when I was sad. I ate when I was lonely. I ate when I was getting sex. I ate when I wasn't getting sex. I ate because I'm a compulsive overeater, and there's no explanation as to why I have it or why I have this condition. You know, it says when the spiritual malady is overcome. What does that mean? The word malady means disease, right? Disorder, right? So when the spiritual, like my spiritual malady is this. This is what my spiritual malady is, my disease is, I put my trust and my faith and my reliance in entities that cannot meet my needs. I put them in myself. I put them in others. I put them into practices. I put them into mental, you know, techniques and processes that I think are going to solve my problem. And those are not spiritual. Those are human. Those are thoughts. Those are practices. And those are things that will not get me over this condition, right? They will not. I have to put my trust and my faith in an entity that will solve my problem. And for me, the only thing that has removed the merciless obsession to harm myself with substances that I know are a problem for me, the only thing that removed that was a power greater than myself. Right? And any time that we're directing people to put their trust and faith in other people above their trust and faith in the one that has all power, we are selling and doing something that's inconsistent with what our literature says, right? Because I wanted to come in here and I wanted to straighten out mentally by adopting a new code of morals and a better philosophy of life, the steps, and use those to solve my problems, right? To weigh and measure my emotions, right? To be convinced I don't have power, I'll never have power, I'm just basically useless, right? Put my trust in all the people around me to make sure that I'll be well, and I fell short. But when I put my trust and reliance in the one that has all power, my obsession was removed, and I used this not to keep me from the food, but to get closer to that power. That is when I straightened out physically and mentally. We're in a big rush to straighten out mentally. What do we have to do? Who do we have to talk to? What step addresses this, right? All of the steps are, I'm going to shut up with this. The 12 steps are spiritual in nature, not practical in nature, which if practiced as a way of life, will expel the obsession to eat and enable the sufferer to live happily and usefully whole. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Pete. Next up is Leanne S. Babahani Yetta.
Hi, this is Leanne. Florida, recovering from anorexia and compulsive eating. I just wanted to share a tip from my sponsor about resentment. If one happens during the day or kind of a 10-step situation to rid self of the burden of a resentment. And she told me that she will pick up a very heavy rock and then start walking with it and praying, you know, praying for the person that she's angry with. And by the time, you know, she's exhausted with this, carrying around this heavy duty burden, she'll like drop the rock and as a release, you know, to release that heavy load that she's carrying with this hurt or this resentment. And I really liked that visual. I don't have huge rocks around here, but I did try it with a backpack, and I put like a bunch of water in there. And it was just a kind of a way to release the tension of a burden that I'm carrying. And along with doing the resentment prayer and, of course, doing a 10th step. But sometimes that visual thing has really helped me in different things that come up between me and my husband. So just wanted to share that. And, you know, this thing about refeeling those sensations and those things that have affected my life, I find it like sometimes it's a constant having to re-release it again, even though I've done the columns with it in a 4th step, it'll come up again. And I'm grateful to have the tool of to be able to do another mini 4th step on anything that happens, anything that comes up. It's such a valuable tool. I never would have this, you know, without having this addiction. People of the world don't have the skills that I've learned here to get rid of this anger. I was on a spiritual retreat a few weeks ago, and I was loaded with so much more spiritual help than they even knew about. I only shared a little bit of some of the practices we do, and they just thought it was like amazing and brilliant. We are so blessed here to have these tools. So I just wanted to share that, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leanne. Next up is Hanietta, followed by Judith S.P.
Thank you, Russ, first of all, for your service. You always do such a good job. I'm Hanietta R. from Texas, and I do like outreach calls, just not on Saturdays. Anyway, I wanted to share on this because, resentments, it is our number one. I cannot be resentful, and everybody has shared a lot on that. But it says here that have we not only been mentally and physically ill, but we have been spiritually sick. Now, I've always thought I had a great relationship with God because I knew He was there all the time. But if I ever got mad at Him, if I didn't get my way, then I was angry with Him, and I fought against Him. I purposely just did everything that I wasn't supposed to do. So I keep kosher, so I didn't keep kosher, or I did things that were immoral, or I ran off, or I stole, or I did whatever, because I knew that that would make Him upset and sad, because I was upset and sad, you know. So, but I thought I had a good relationship with Him because I could tell Him anything. Well, I know today that those are not the things that I want to live with and live by. The other thing is that when I feel like, you know, that when I've done my 4th step and things pop back up again, I had somebody tell me one time, you know, they come back up because you have worked on this and you have gotten to a place to be with this. And now that it's come back up, you have to go deeper. And every time it comes back up after I've worked it, I need to go deeper. And the onion has to split, and it has to go further and further to the core of what this resentment really is and where it comes from. So I think the whole program is a miracle, and I just want to tell the newcomers, welcome, and I'm so glad you're here. And anybody struggling or new, don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. There's one out there for everyone, one, many miracles out there for everyone. And even if you're an old-timer, look for those miracles. Anyway, thank you. With that, I'll pass, and everybody have a great weekend and a good Shabbos for those who celebrate.
Thanks, Hanietta. Appreciate it. Next up is Judith S.P., and I think we may be able to take one or two more.
Hi, good morning, Russ. Good morning, everybody. My name is Judith S.P. from Maryland. Truly grateful for God, for my recovery, and for the awarenesses every moment that when my spiritual eyes are open, I really see now. And I go back a page or so when it says self-centeredness is the root of all my problems. That's amazing. I never knew that. And then I come to read and feel resentment is the number one offender. I never knew that. And then it goes on further for me to help me see that my self-esteem as a child growing up, my ambitions, never thought I could do much of anything. My personal relationships were all artificial, or most of them. I was hurt and threatened by life. And I thank you, God, for the disease of compulsive eating, for my massive spoiled brat self-centeredness, and for my resentments, because they help me not burn up. So they are gifts from God. And I don't want to be idling them, but I want to respect and gently wrap my love around them, because that's what God does for me. And when I look at the first three steps and really live them in my heart and soul, coming to step four is truly a blessing, because what it is giving me the opportunity to do here is to open myself and see the wide picture and see that I'm a small part of this human experience on this incredible earth that I live on. And I'm here for a time limited. I don't know how long I have, when my expiration date is. I don't need to worry about that. God, as with everything, is going to take care of it. But when I honestly look inside and clear away the wreckage through the resentments, the fears, the harms, I'm in touch with my inner divinity. I don't have to search out here in the universe and find it in people, places, things, money, possessions, etc. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to look at that which did protect me, not healthily, but it helped me survive so that now I can thrive. And what a gift, what a gift, as this whole book is really giving me a mirror into my own soul. And I, the words escape me. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
All right, Judith, thank you. We have time for one share. Who would like it?
Adrian N. in Florida.
All right, Adrian, go ahead. You're up.
Hi. So I have an old sponsor, or former sponsor, I should say, that I've kept in touch with over the years. And for over a year, I've been reaching out to her when I hear her share on a meeting, or I'll send her a text, or I'll call and leave a voice message, and she has not replied. And I didn't know if she was mad at me, if she blocked me, what was going on. And I put it in God's hands. And I think it was yesterday or the day before, she reached out to me that she was thinking of me. And I instantly got so resentful. Oh, now you think of me? Now you're answering? You know, and listening to this meeting, I turned it all around and said, I don't know what was going on with her. You know, she could have been going through such turmoil in her life, and I was just another stressor, you know. And now I say, yeah, I love this woman. She's helped me so much, and I just want the best for her. And so I wrote back, thank you for thinking of me, and I'm glad. You know, I don't even remember what I wrote, but it was something nice. And there's no more resentment there. And that is like the miracle of this meeting, of the program, of higher power. It's just wonderful how these things work out. I can't believe that this is not available, or everybody doesn't know about this. The 12 steps are just so wonderful. Thank you. Yes.
All right, Adrian, thank you. And Adrian's going to be our last share, and we thank everyone who shared on this meeting, who did service, and now to be possible. What a great meeting. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour study immediately following the closing of this meeting. So the share ID for today, Friday, December 13, 2024, is 21994. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I ask Nancy R. to read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, it's Nancy R., recovered compulsive eater. I lost my space here. I don't be great with you guys. 164. Our book is meant to be suggested only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot pass up something you have not got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit yourself to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. And God bless you and keep you until then.